Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which brews beers that are highly rated by beer critics and beer lovers alike. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and Greg, as I just noted, Beach Slang is one of the most powerful live bands of recent years. I first saw them at South by Southwest because I stupidly was not moved by their first record, and we had many Sound Opinions listeners emailing both of us saying, you got to see them live, you'll get it. And certainly I did. This is how the band normally sounds.
Play it loud, play it fast. Play me something that will always last. Play it tough, play it quiet. Play me something that might save my life.
Now, the group has had a number of lineups since it began with singer and songwriter James Alex. Just this week, they parted ways with the guitarist who was touring with them amid allegations that he'd been involved in a sexual assault before joining the band. They're touring now behind the new record, A Loud Bash of Teenage Feelings. A couple of weeks ago, a crowd of about 50 people, lucky fans, joined us for a very special solo acoustic performance from James Alex at the Goose Island Tap Room here in Chicago. That song we just heard part of, Future Mixtape for the Art Kids, contains this lyric. Play it soft, play it quiet, play me something that might save my life. I asked James if that bit about his life depending on rock and roll is something he really believes in.
Oh yeah, yeah, with all my heart, with all my guts, you know. Yeah, I was a pretty lost kid, you know. I mean, rock and roll gave me a sense of belonging and purpose, you know, and I guess I haven't been able to shake that off, nor have I wanted to, you know.
What was the light bulb moment? What was the moment that you music hit you and you kind of knew this was changing me?
Yeah, man, there were two things really. The first rock and roll show I ever got to go see was the Ramones. You know, I dropped off by my mom, you know, the whole little kid, little ragtag kid. And, you know, I just walked in there and I've described it as feeling like outer space. You know, it was just really wild, like the energy and all that stuff and getting sort of knocked down but picked back up by these bigger punks and stuff. And I just felt like, I don't know, I felt community or something. And then I saw a high school production of Tommy by The Who, you know? And I think that gave me a sense of like, because, you know, Townsend to me is, you know, sort of otherworldly, right? But then I saw kids, you know, sort of my age playing these Who songs. And I couldn't believe that you could do that. I thought you needed to be tapped by the rock gods or something to do that. And then when I saw that, it sort of cracked my head open and I was like, maybe I can fake my way through this, you know, maybe I can do it.
I think the perception of you is you're sort of a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, people are saying, oh wow, this guy's not 21 and he's making this music. You know, you're almost twice as old as that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were in a band for a long time, Weston, out of Philly. But you weren't like the main force in that band. I mean, it seemed like you were part of a band.
And he weaseled his way into the top there.
what was that like?
By the end,
you were singing
and writing. And
yeah, I think it was that. Like, we sort of started out, and there was no sort of blueprint for us at that time, you know? So we were sort of figuring it out.
I read this story about Weston. Tell me if it's true.
Okay, sure.
That you were a fan, and you would just show up at every gig.
That's true.
However you could get. And sooner or later, you know, they lost their rhythm guitarist, and they said, man, you're here anyway.
You're here anyway. why don't we just make this thing official? That's precisely how it happened. And then we just started doing the thing, and then I learned so much from those guys, and it took a good while, but because I came up such a shy, painfully shy wallflower that they sort of showed me how to front a band. Even though I wasn't fronting that band, they showed me how to do it just watching.
Well, you went from wallflower to a guy who's playing on stage in his underwear.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was.
Today we have pants on. This right is radio. On. Yeah. Not only pants, but a stylish blazer and a ruffled shirt.
Yeah, well, you know, Sound Opinions. I had to doll up a little bit. Yeah, I, well,
no, that's your uniform. Well, that we know, it is. We know
that,
this.
That school. It is. Yeah, it's my little Clark Kent to Superman thing. But you're right. I think it was that. It was tap into whatever gear you haven't found before. So yeah. They pushed me into uncomfortable places. But those are those really necessary places we need to go as human beings. You know, I wanted to, I didn't want to stay stuck without a voice my whole life. And they really helped me find it, you know? Yeah. Nothing kids.
Well, as I said, you're here with your acoustic guitar. Beach Slang, you know, Greg and I don't agree on a lot. One of the best live bands in rock today. I'm really interested to see what this becomes with just you and your acoustic. I mean, because you'll play a song sort of alone, but you're still amplified on stage and the boys are there.
Right, sure.
So, but this is how they start, because you record at home, right?
I do, yeah. If it can hold up, it's just you and your acoustic guitar. There's something to the song, you know. I need to make sure it passes that little test first, and then... then we make it loud and it becomes Beach Slang. But but it needs to sort of pass this. I was on radio once and somebody called it the campfire test. Mm-hmm. So I've been subscribing to that title. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, what are you going to play?
I was going to play Atom Bomb off the new record. You know, we'll take the rockingest song off the new record and see how that transcribes. But so yeah, I have at it now.
Yeah okay. Sure.
James Alex of Beach Slang, solo acoustic. What a treat. Oh. Newer album is called A Loud Bash of Teenage Feelings. I love that title.
Thanks, man.
You know, I there's such an explosion of feeling in these two Beach Slang records.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it almost feels to me like that was just being stored up when you were in Weston. And there was finally this outlet for it. Did you have any ambitions like, I got to do my own thing when you were in that band, or was it just you were just very content to be where you were at that point?
I think, yeah, we were all pretty content, just sort of being silly and getting into good trouble and just having fun as like friends and brothers and stuff. But I think once that ended, there was this idea of, I think I grew into having the courage to be honest. You know, I think I always sort of hid a part of that away because I just have this wild fear of rejection that I was just like, well, if I open myself up entirely and somebody's just like, that's no good. I think with beach slang, and I think maybe it was just bravado came with age, you know, and it was just like, I'm just going to kind of tear myself open and see if honesty has a place in rock and roll. And, you know, yeah, fortunately it has, you know, at least in our little world, our little scene, yeah, I'm really glad I did it.
The story, and you can correct us on this, is that, you know, here you are, early mid-30s, Weston sort of dissolves. And what I'd read is that you had, at that point, sort of thought, well, that's it for me in music. I'm going to be this graphic artist guy, and I'm going to live the straight life from now on.
Yeah.
How long did that last, and why did it end?
Yeah, right on. Well, yeah, man, it didn't last very long. But, I had defined myself by Weston, you know, we all did. We were like, this is what we do. And when that ended, we had that moment of like, well, what slash why slash who are we now, right? And I was like, well, what do I do if I can't play guitar? And I was like, well, I was making posters and flyers for shows. Art school seemed like, you know, it made sense. So I did that. But you know how people have holes in themselves and people, I don't know, commonly refer to it as like the God hole or whatever. Mine shaped like rock and roll. I couldn't not do it. I was chasing this sound that took a good long time. And then when I wrote Filthy Luck, which is the first thing I wrote for Beach Slang, I was like, I think I found it. I had that hair sort of stood up on my arms moment of like, this is that thing that has been eluding me. And then we made EP1, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't going to be a band.
It still
when you made that EP.
Totally. It was just like sort of a recording project. I mean, when the whole thing happened, I sort of let some friends hear these things, and they were like, these really deserve to be record, right? So it was like, okay, well, let's go in and cut it. And then before we even put it out, I moved to California for like design stuff. And we thought like kind of that's what it was. And then I suppose I have trouble accepting that people might care about anything I do. And that's not a plug to sort of get attention or anything. I'm just really wired to be that way, I suppose. And then when it sort of happened, I was like, well, look, you know, one day I'm going to be regaling tales about my life from a rocking chair. And I'm like, I don't want to tell the story of like, I wonder what would have happened if we chased that beach slang thing. So as soon as it felt like there might be a little moxie to this thing we were building, I was like, well, let's go all the way, you know? So then that way, fly or fall, you know, we know we swung with all we had, you know?
Second yeah. EP. And one of the things I found inspiring about your story is your wife encouraged you.
Oh.
It wasn't like grow up, be an adult.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. When we got the safety net removal for Beach Slang was we got offered that tour with Cursive, and I had just, this sounds shameful to say, but I had a kid, I had my son 2 weeks before, and she's like, no, you got to do it. You know, wow. You got to go do it. So yeah, man, it would be difficult. It'd be impossible to do if she wasn't so cool. You know, she really promotes the idea, as I think we do to each other, of like, we just want to make each other the best version of ourselves that we can be, because like, you know, that's sort of who we fell for. That's who we swoon over, you know? So we don't want that to be lost. And she's like, you know, if rock and roll leaves your life, you're just, you're like a ghost of James, you know, you're not him. So she's been cool, and she has walked it like she's talked it, you know? So yeah, pretty lucky fella. Yeah.
How about another song?
Oh, surely. That'd be great. Yeah, I was going to play Bad Art and Weirdo Ideas off the last record.
Cool.
The sound of your heart is wired to break. Too messed up to love, too soft to hate. The hum of your lung is my favorite thing. And the edge of ours.
into my mouth. I've always felt stuck, alone or ashamed. The gut is too tough, the stars are too safe. I'm always that kid, always out of place. Try to get found. I've never known how.
Right on. Thank you.
That's James Alex from Beach Slang performing Bad Art and Weirdo Ideas at the Goose Island Tap Room in Chicago. Coming up, more music from Beach Slang, and James talks with us about his desire to tear down the wall between performer and audience. Later in the show, we're going to review the new album from the Drive-By Truckers. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.